There's a children's book that I can remember reading when I was a kid called Meanwhile Back at the Ranch. And this book talks about a farmer and his wife, and he says, "I'm going to go into town. Do you want to come?" And she says, "No, that's okay. I'm just going to stay here." And he says, "Okay." So he goes into town, and he's seeing all of the stuff, all of the excitement that's happening in town. It's a pretty exciting day. He watches a turtle cross the road, which is big news in the town. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, she gets a call saying that she has won the lottery. In town, he goes and he's watching a fierce checker game between two old guys sitting on the front porch of the general store. And he watched the one guy get a king. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the kitten and the cow both have babies. In town, he's walking along and he sees somebody trip and fall. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, his wife discovers that there's oil. At the end, he comes back and she says, "Well, how was it?" And he said, "Oh, it was a super exciting day. You really missed out. I saw somebody trip and fall, and I saw this guy get a king in the checkers game, and we watched a turtle cross the road." And he looks around to see all of the things that have changed at the farm while he's been gone. I tell you that story not just because I think it's funny, but because I think this is what happens quite a bit in the book of Revelation. Where it gives us a story and it tells us this is what's happening with the churches right now. Meanwhile, up in heaven, here's what's going on from a different perspective. Here's what's coming for those who believe, all of the trials and tribulations and struggles. Meanwhile, here's what it's going to look like from the angle of those who don't believe. Here's what's happened throughout history. Here's what's happening from this side. Here's what's happening from that side. And it goes this way, and we begin to get this really full picture of both what's happening now and what will come. And so now as we approach Revelation chapter 20, we will see that there are a lot of things that are happening now, a lot of things to be hopeful for, right? We're finally closing in on the book of Revelation. We will reach the end in just the next couple of weeks. And as we get there, we see that there's a lot to be hopeful for now. There's a lot to be hopeful for in the future. So I'd like to read to you Revelation chapter 20, and then we'll come back and take it bit by bit. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, and they will come out to deceive, and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they march up over the broad plain of the earth and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what is written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There's a lot here. Man, where to start? Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit. Okay. That is awesome. That's awesome. We have already seen that when in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, that he was cast out of heaven, right? When Christ came the first time, Satan no longer had any place in heaven by which he could accuse us before the Father. He had no place to do that anymore because Christ had come. He was thrown out of heaven and he was ticked, raging around. And it said in chapter 12 that he raged around after the woman, and the woman represented the church, represented God's people. He raged around after them, but could not defeat them. Now what we see is that he is bound and thrown into a pit that's shut and sealed. So that he may not deceive the nations any longer. Now, there's a lot of struggle with these few verses. What is this 1,000 years? What does this mean? What is this referring to? When does this happen? And just like we have had the same sort of cycle over and over again, we've been talking about the same period of time over and over again, whether it talked about 3.5 years or 1,260 months or... what's the other one? 42, wait. There you go. 1,260 days or 42 months. That's why it didn't work. Whether you referred to it in these different ways, it was talking about the same time period from when Jesus came to when he comes again. And talking about it over and over again, we're talking about that same time period now. You remember when the saints were... crying out, the seals were being opened, right? The seals were being opened and the saints were under the altar and they were crying out and they were saying, "How long, O Lord? How long what must we wait before you will judge and avenge our blood? How long do we have to wait for that?" And he says, "Rest. Rest a little longer." Now we have here this 1,000 years, this time period that is complete and full. And what we're being told is this is the amount of time that they must wait. It's this complete and full time period while the message of God is going out. And this is the promise for us in these verses, that the message of God is going out and Satan cannot stop it. He can't stop the gospel from going to the ends of the earth. He may try, he may like to, but with regard to this, he is completely bound and is incapable of stopping the gospel from spreading to every tribe and tongue and nation, as is the will of God. Meanwhile, while that's happening, then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. During the same time period, we have those who reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And this is what we know of them. We know that the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended, but that the other was the first resurrection. He says, "Blessed are and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for this 1,000 years, for this complete time period." I could spend a lot of time talking about this. But here's what I understand is happening. What he's talking about is that you either get two resurrections or you get two deaths. Those are your choices. That those who take part in the first resurrection, this is a spiritual resurrection, those who die get to go and be in the presence of God right now. They get to go and be with Him right now. In the end, there will be a bodily resurrection when all of the dead are raised. And for those whose names are not written in the book of life, there will be a second death. And so your choices are this. You either get two resurrections or you get two deaths. I see in the hope in this for us. Right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and he says to them, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Those who have already died in Christ are with Him now. This is the promise and the hope that we have. And the reason that this is important is because it gives us confidence in what we're doing now. I mean, can you imagine what it's like to be in India? Can you imagine what it's like to be in Sudan? Can you imagine what it's like to be in these places, the persecuted church around the world, where people are suffering and dying for their faith every day? And this is the context that John is writing to in these seven churches when he's writing the letter of Revelation. He's writing to people who are dying every single day because they believe in Christ. And the hope that he's giving to them is that the gospel will not be stopped. It will continue to spread to the four corners of the earth. And those who remain steadfast to the end will be with Christ. Even though it doesn't look like it all the time, we are winning and will win. We have got to begin to think of ourselves as unstoppable. The message of Christ will go out and Satan cannot stop it. So what is it that keeps us from proclaiming it? What is it that we're afraid of? Are we afraid it's not true? Are we afraid that the other person isn't going to accept it? Are we afraid that we might be embarrassed about it? Are we afraid that we might be persecuted because of it? Are we afraid that we might die because we have proclaimed the name of Christ? What is it that we're afraid of in proclaiming it? He says that Satan is bound and cannot stop it from happening. The gospel will go out. We are winning this. In verse 7 it says, "And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. And their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But the fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds exactly like last week in chapter 19. "Then I saw," this is verse 11 of 19. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. With a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.' And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that comes from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and the birds were gorged with their flesh." It's the same result. It's the same battle. We see it prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 39. In Ezekiel chapter 39, it says, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn you about and drive you forward and bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north, and lead you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand, and I will make your arrows drop out from your right hand. You shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your hordes and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey and every sort of I will give you to the birds of prey of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. I will send fire on Magog and on those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it will be brought about, declares the Lord God, that day of which I have spoken." Then down in verse 17, "As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to the birds of every sort and to all the beasts of the field. Assemble and come, gather from all around to the sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you, a great sacrificial feast on the mountains of Israel. And you shall eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and he-goats, of bulls, and all of the fat of the beasts of Bashan. And you shall eat fat until you are filled and drink blood until you are drunk at the sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you. And you shall be filled at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all kinds of warriors, declares the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid on them. The house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they have dealt so treacherously with me that I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and their transgressions, and hid my face from them. He has promised. He has promised and continues to promise that there will be a great day of the Lord. Satan would like very much to stop the spread of the gospel throughout the earth, and he is not able to. And we live in a time now when the gospel is going out. And we anticipate that at some day, Satan will gather people together and will try one final attempt to destroy the people of God, and he will fail utterly. It will be as if he gathers all the armies of the world and brings them together to surround the church to destroy them, and fire comes out from heaven and poof, done. You lost. You cannot defeat them. You cannot beat them. You can't take them away or take them captive. You have lost, Satan. And he will be taken, and he will be thrown down into the lake of fire and sulfur, and it will be done. Yeah. That's the part where we cheer, right? That's the part where we have been struggling and struggling and wandering through this and going, how long, O Lord? When, oh when, oh when will your judgment come? When will things be made right? How long must we wait? And he says, this long. And when it is complete and full, that will be it. It will be done. Satan will be thrown down. He will be defeated. He will have nothing left. And on that great day, there will be a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Look, when it is all said and done, there will be a great judgment day. When we will stand before the judgment throne, and God will open up the book, and he will judge us by whether or not our names are written in the book of life. Oh, may our names be written in that book. He says he will judge them by what is written in the book of life and by what they have done. What we do does make a difference. Look, I'm not saying it makes a huge difference, right? The big difference is your name written in the book of life or is it not? If your name is written in the book of life, it's going to be really good for you for all of eternity. If your name is not written in the book of life, it's going to be really bad for you for all of eternity. How bad or how good? Well, that will be determined by God's sovereign will. and according to the things that we have done. But when it is all said and done, He will be there. Each one will be judged according to what they have done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And we have to ask, how? How is our name written in the book of life? Our name is written in the book of life if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. If we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, our name is written in the book of life. And there will be for us no second death. We will be the ones dressed in white. We will be the ones reigning with Christ as His priests. We will be the ones who overcome. We will be the ones with Him forever in His glory. For those whose names are not written in the book of life, it is eternal separation from God and eternal destruction. Church, Satan cannot stop the message of Christ from going out. We are winning and we will win. Amen. And we will because Christ has already defeated Satan at the cross. And He is coming again for a great day of judgment where He will first throw down Satan and then we'll have the day of judgment. Church, this is our hope. There's no losing here. There is no losing here. We have already won and continue to win. We must be bold in that. We must not shrink back in fear. We must not sit on our thumbs and go, things are pretty bad. We must not be concerned about the stuff that goes on around us. We must not be concerned about the politics of today. We must not be concerned about what's going on with the United States right now. Because you know what? It doesn't really matter. What matters is that the kingdom of God is spreading to everyone who knows and acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's happening every day. There are people around the world who are dying because of that message, and they are winning, just as Christ died and won. Church, we have got to pray. Because it doesn't matter what kind of a sword you've got. We are not going to win this battle with military skills or with profound words. We are going to win this battle because Christ is winning it and we are praying. And so you saw on the video. And she cried out and she said, please, please help us. Please, please help us. It's getting so bad. It just seems to be getting worse. And the government can't do anything about it. Please pray. All we need is for you to pray. That's true there. That's true here. That's true in here. We have got to pray because we are winning and we will win. And without knowing it and without the confidence, we will shrink back in fear instead of charging
with boldness to declare, Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent and turn to Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your message of hope. Thank You that You are winning and will win. Thank You that even in the midst of persecution, Christians around the world can have hope. Thank You that this is not a physical battle. Thank You that our enemies are not flesh and blood people. Lord, we pray for the enemies of Your church, those who have been deceived. And we ask, would You set them free by the truth of Your word? Would You enable Your people to respond to persecution in love and grace? Would You redeem them? And Father, we pray, would You complete the time that the day of judgment may come and it may be done. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.